Hey, and welcome back to a great interview, extra feature interview. We have two people today. Very exciting. They're here to talk about their film, Slept the Movie. We have Gina and Scott. Scott, you're main lead of the film. Gina, you're in the film too. This is great. We get to chat. I'm so excited.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you guys. You guys said something different. I kind of like it. I got lots of questions. But I want you guys to talk more than me. So I want to discuss why they didn't like me.
You know what? Schlep is a cool word I found, and I was looking to give it a title. And I kind of went to IMDb, and I looked up. I found Schlep, and I looked up, and there was nothing else listed in there. And I was like, oh, that's a trick. So it was kind of like an unused title for a movie, and I liked it.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, term, it means awkward journey. And then I think that basically sums up all of our story.
The story and the making. I think what it was, I was watching a lot of indie films like Tiny Furniture and a bunch of Mark Duplass movies and some Swanberg movies. And it got me really inspired. Like, you know, like, this is, you know, like, we can get a little crew together and make a movie. And a lot of it was, you know, based on relationships. And for the small budget we had, it was like, okay, let's make a movie about a guy who's going through a quarter-life crisis. And he goes out to the desert to find his girlfriend and make amends with her. And he has all these awkward encounters. So it was just about, well, you know, going off those things that we can relate to, I guess.
Moving to Los Angeles, he was doing a lot of filmmaking on his own with his friends for fun. And so he kind of turned me on to filmmaking because I didn't really realize that could be a possibility. And now with, you know, the new wave of technology, it's much easier to make a film these days.
Yeah.
So before you started making the film, Gina, I guess you're new to filmmaking is what you're telling me here?
Yeah, this is actually both of our first features. Well, Scott made some features with his friends, but this is my first real feature film.
Okay, then maybe I'll start there. How did you feel the budget worked for you, Scott? Were you able to do everything you wanted in your budget?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, we'll get to this in depth, too. I mean, there's a lot of mistakes on this one, so I feel like the budget, I think it could have been used wiser, to be honest with you. I think that this is our first movie, like we said, so it was kind of, I think we're going to get better with that as we go along, but for the most part, yeah, I mean, that we used DSLR cameras and we got a good sound guy, and I think those are the most important things when making a small movie. It's like, you know, get your sound in order, first of all, get good sound, because that means a lot, and then get a guy who's willing to move fast with you as a DP, and I think, yeah, we stayed in the budget okay for first-timers, but next time we'll do better, I think.
Yeah.
So how'd that feel for you, Gina, having an experience that Scott's already had and you haven't had? Like, he's done other pictures with his friends. You can kind of boss them around.
Yeah, I mean, it was, well, I mean, I have a degree in communication, so, and I'm naturally, like, really good at organizing things. So when I took the role as producer, it was a lot of, there was a big learning curve, but ultimately I did a lot of research and got everything together, you know, lists of things to do, make sure whatever facets need to be done with the film, just try to stay on top of that as much as possible. So, I mean, it was a big challenge, but I learned a lot ultimately, and it was actually the best film school was actually making the film.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Can I ask a few questions about the film before we go any further? I just have minor notes.
Yeah.
Does the guy not like sex? Because I have this note written down. Does he like sex? Because that was one of my questions.
I think he loves sex, probably. I just think at this moment that we're checking in with him that, you know, the guilt of cheating on his girlfriend, it's like his body won't let him engage anymore. And then when he's doing it with her, starting to do it with her, his guilt won't let him do it then either. So I feel like his body's punishing him or
something. Is that what it is? Because he keeps blowing them off. I'm like, okay, I got to ask. That's right. And you have a lot of music in this film, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Was that just for fun? Or because, I mean, it was a lot I found. I found a lot of times, okay, more music, more music, more music. I got to ask.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, actually, because I feel like I'm very proud of the music that is in it. Especially for any movie, when you can get music at all, it's a blessing. But we went on to SoundCloud and we talked to a couple of artists that we liked, and we said we're doing an indie movie. Would you mind us putting your stuff in there? And they said yes, and it really added to the vibe of the movie. Yeah, we were very blessed. I mean, I would suggest SoundCloud for anyone who's making movies right now, and there are people willing to let their music be in your movies.
Okay. I've got great, awesome. I'm sorry, I'm bouncing around in my notes too. When you filmed it, how'd you pick your locations? Like, did you have I'm going to do this, or did people loan them to you?
Well, we had some places available, like the cramped little apartment that we shot at for Scott's apartment, Scott and Gian's apartment. That's ours.
Aha! Uh-huh. So, I always want to know these things.
Yeah, that's ours.
And then for Tony's house, that was actually my aunt's house.
I love Tony's house.
Yeah. She graciously let us use her house, so that was nice.
For the studio stuff, that was shot as a favor on weekends at Hollywood Center Studios.
Okay, see, these are the questions I love to ask. This is the stuff I get.
Yeah. I mean, and we did it for free, so that's another thing, you know, at the studio, which was another good thing. Always saving money if you can through people who, you know, are willing to let you shoot there. The one place that we paid for was
the B&B.
Yeah, the B&B in Joshua Tree.
Oh, okay. I was wondering that. I'm like, is that the... Not being a YouTube fan, I apologize. I'm like, I think it's Joshua Tree where they went. Looked like it to me, but...
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, then.
Yeah.
I love that. What's with the texting and driving?
wait, what?
I have a note, because I'm Canadian, so we're texting and driving is a big no-no up here. And he is constantly not paying any attention to his driving at all. I did make that note. I'm like, why is he not paying attention to the road?
You see, I told you, he's going through a crisis, man. He's just all over the place. You're right, though. He's got to get that in check.
Like, that's intense. That's some intense. So how did you film that? Was that an actual another car, or is that really just him driving and paying attention to his phone?
Well, the part, like, which, is it the part where he's under the, the part where he texts is usually under the garage. I mean.
No, he's driving. When he's leaving to go find his girlfriend, he is texting and driving, 100%.
He's on the phone.
Oh, he's on the phone. Well, you know what? We had our DP shooting that, but, I don't know. I don't even remember that.
It was just a major focusing, I guess.
I was just laughing about it. I'm like, not a chance.
Don't text and drive. I don't recommend it.
Yeah, me either.
And I have, like, other notes here. I just want to have some fun. Why is he looking at his mom's wedding photos?
Oh, well, you know, hey, there's a man in there, too. It's my father.
Oh, okay. I was like, it just seemed kind of strange to me.
You know what I think it is? I'm glad you're asking all these. No one ever asks these questions. Well, like, I think that's about, like, hey, my parents, they made it this long. They're still together. And why am I having trouble with this? Why can't I have that stability? I think that's what that means. And, you know.
Why haven't I reached that point in my life yet?
Yeah, why am I such an idiot who texts and drives? I mean.
Oh, I know. It made me laugh, you know. And, okay, where did you find the nunchuck guy? These are just, I make notes, and I like to jump all over, so I'm going to be
jumping.
I
like you a lot. That nunchuck guy, I'll give this a
try. Okay, so the nunchuck guy is actually my brother.
He's awesome. He's nothing against you guys. He's my favorite.
Oh, that's
he's going to love hearing that.
Oh, good. He used to do martial arts. So we thought it would be funny to just have my brother play my overprotective brother, and then just every time Scott comes by, just give him a really hard time.
Oh, he made me laugh so hard those scenes. It reminded me of those 80s movies, those 80 teen comedies I used to watch. They always have the mean older brother, and I'm like, that's him.
He's great. He's also an actor, but he's like from Tucson. But he came over to California to film that part.
He was my favorite part. I wanted more of him. I have to apologize. I wanted more of them Jet guy all the time. He just like
don't I apologize. I like that. I think that we should make T-shirts with some of his quotes on it.
I think you should because he was funny.
Absolutely.
Now, Gina, why wouldn't you give Scott the time of day? I mean, you kind of let him almost in a few times, but it took a while, you know, to work it out.
Yeah, I think for my character, she was just like
I'm done.
Yeah, she was just completely undone by what happened and just feeling a huge sense of betrayal. And she wants to let him in, but she also knows that he's just a liar.
Well, so. He is. He's pretty much stated that himself by the end. But it took him a while to get there.
Yeah.
Okay, I have notes about a dance scene freestyle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm jumping on my notes. I have about 2 pages of notes, so I'm just looking for fun things to talk about. Because as I watch the movie, I make notes.
Awesome.
So was it a freestyle dance? What was that?
It totally was. So basically, in real life, I did study dance, like Ronnie's character who studied dance, but she's not using that degree. So when Liz asks her to dance, she's like, dying for some kind of an outlet because she has her own pent-up frustration in her life. And so the actress, Jennifer Robin Jacobs, who plays Liz, we told her just have fun, go crazy, like the crazier the better. And so we just let her rip and she went wild.
Oh, I'm laughing. I'm like, this has got to be some interpretive dance I've never seen. I'm going to ask them.
She did a take where she went even crazier and she backed into a table with a record player on it and the whole thing came down. But we weren't rolling. We were just, you know.
Oh.
We were just, it was such a great take. But she went up and did it again. But, you know, no table falling over.
So. That would have been great.
I would love to have seen that. Okay. So just speaking on some more fun.
Yeah.
You have the toilet scene I have a note for. That toilet is very clean.
Yes, now, we did clean it.
I'm like, that thing is like spotless. I'm like, what? Is this a new toilet? Or are they like super cleaned it? Because I felt bad for the actress lying on it. I guess it was you.
Yeah, it was me. Like, no, I made sure to clean it before because I figured if I'm going to be puking and, you know, lying and do all that stuff.
I hate to give you this now, but you say it's clean, but, and it was because Gina wiped it down, but then her brother, to note, who played Tony with the nunchucks,
yes.
he actually took a whiz in there right before we started shooting. I was like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, nah, it's fine.
Are you serious?
That's serious.
Oh,
man.
My God. I would have lost it because, Gina, you were like on that thing.
Yeah, right on it.
Well, I had to make it realistic to what drunk vomiting would be.
It was. I was like, I can't believe she did that. I would have let you go, like, change the angle on the DB shot, back up from behind her. I would have given you that without an issue of complaints.
And then the funny thing, too, the vomit was made out of banana puree.
Oh, okay. I can't really see that. I did open it up a bit, but it's kind of hard to notice. I knew something was coming out, so.
Yeah. Banana puree.
So I guess I gotta ask more. In the writing process, where does this come from? Like, some of it has to be real. From your friends or yourself personally or people you know.
Yeah. I think we took, like, things that we've experienced, funny things that we've heard or seen or encountered, and just things we would like to see happen with these characters, and that's kind of how we brainstormed this whole story.
Yeah, the whole cheating part is a farce. It's not real, but I feel like there's a lot of insecurity about it, like constantly. Like I've been pretty neurotic in my life about, are you cheating on me? And it's like, I've just been like that throughout my life, so I was like, I gotta make a movie about this, and I want to play the guy who did it, you know.
Yeah.
But he's such an asshole. But he learns, I think, by the end.
Oh,
he's a lovable asshole.
Yeah. He's learning. Yeah.
Okay.
But there were some little things here and there, but I don't know. Yeah, it was semi-scripted outline. So it wasn't fully scripted or anything. It was a lot of it was, you know, descriptions of the scene. And then the only time we'd get really specific with dialogue was when it was something that was going to connect to another thing later on down the line. So, yeah. So this one, it was pretty, you know, wide open and
improv-y
and loose.
Okay, I want to jump right back to the beginning now, just so you know. I mean, I'm going to jump. Why did he steal the script? He just wanted a job?
I think he wasn't talented enough. Like, at least wouldn't let himself be talented enough, you know? Like, the other guy had a great script. It was right there. And he was greedy and thought, ooh, I could use this. I also think it sort of happened. Someone saw the script and he didn't correct them that it wasn't his, you know?
That's fair. And the girl at the office that's texting him all the time, that she texts everybody?
Yeah.
Did that really exist? Because I really feel that's one of my coworkers. I think you know her. Because she texts me 24/7.
No.
Does she send you bikini shots, too?
No. Luckily for me, no, because I would have to stop that. But I know this person.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's heard, like, a story kind of like that, you know?
Yeah, the girl who texts everyone.
Is she nice, though, man? Is she nice?
She's a nice lady. I work with her. Very polite. I like her a lot. I'm just like, oh, my God. It doesn't stop, though. Like, I'm married, you know? I'm like, I don't need 50 texts a day.
Oh, that's awkward.
I'm just like, enough. Like, some days I won't hear anything, and then I just get stacks. I'm like, okay, enough. Don't you have somebody else to text? Like a girlfriend or something, like, besides me? Okay, back to the film. You shot some in color, some in black and white.
Yeah.
Was that intentional, obviously, or was that a money thing?
It was later on. I mean, money-wise, it wouldn't have mattered too much because, you know, I had my DP actually do all the color correction with me. But it was one of those things I was experimenting with, you know, through editing, and I liked the black and white stuff. And then I started thinking, hey, wait a second, so all the stuff before he goes to Joshua Tree is the black and white of life for him. Like, he's not doing well at work, he's cheating on his girl, he's not feeling, you know, he's feeling black and white about stuff. And by the time he, you know, sees that car from his childhood, it reminds him of, you know, purer times, and he goes chasing after something that worked for him, which he thought was his girlfriend.
Okay.
And so I just thought it was a cool way of, you know, little artsy-fartsy way of showing, you know, the different stages.
The epiphany.
The epiphany.
I did notice, did you plan for the film jumps, or was some editing I missed, like some scenes that were filmed that were never shown?
The film jumps?
I find there's time jumps in the film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So the very beginning, like with, like, you're fired, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes out. And then it shows the schlep, and then it cuts back in time a little bit to all the stuff leading up to that firing.
Yeah, that threw me off. I will totally be honest with you. It took me a few. I'm like, okay, I got it now.
Oh, did you get that when it came around the second time?
Yes.
Okay.
The first time I didn't get it. I was like, what? And I thought I missed something. I rewound it. Said, no, I'm still watching. Okay.
That's interesting. Yeah, I wanted to get like some little bit of intrigue at the beginning. Whether that worked or not, I have no idea. But
okay, just like, oh, and I forgot. I made a note. I love the bongo music when the girlfriend goes nuts.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny. That's from YouTube. I can't remember who it was, but we found that it was just a live recording of some guy playing bongos, and we asked him, hey, can we use this? And he was like, yeah.
It was great. I absolutely thought it fit super, super, super well.
Nice, man. Thank you.
I'm going to go back. Who's Gina, you've been auditioning, or Scott, you've been auditioning?
We actually both were. We used to have agents. We used to do the whole audition route, that kind of thing.
I was on a Disney show called Kicking It for 3 episodes.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of auditioning for both of us.
I'm going to ask a weird question. Who's in Kicking It? I could look it up while we're talking and just get back to you. But
oh, it's me. Yes. Scotty B here.
No. Is there – okay. My kids love Disney Channel, so I'm just asking, would I have seen it?
Leo Howard is the star of that, a bunch of other kids.
No,
Olivia
Holt.
Okay, well, I'll ask my kids about it. They'll be all happy that I've talked to someone that was on the show. I'll be looking for you, and I'll be like,
I know that guy. I'm so good.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, too. I think that you could go on there, too.
Oh, it's my kid's favorite.
It's season 3, and then I think episode 1 of season 4.
Yeah.
Kicking it. Okay, I'm already making a note to ask my kids, so I apologize.
They'll know, though. I know kids love that show.
Yeah.
Okay, how is the audition process, Scott? I mean, you want to write, you're living in L.A. How's that like?
It's good. You know, after this movie, it really started picking up in terms of creativity because I learned a lot from this movie, you know, the limits of doing an outline, scripted outline. And so I've got 2 scripts now that are fully written out and one that we're shooting in January 2018, Gina and I and a lot of the people from this movie.
Jump Shark guy back?
Who?
Tony back?
Yeah, I think we're getting Tony for a spot. Too.
Oh, then I have to refuse.
Yeah, he's all the way in Tucson, though.
That's not that far. It's what, 6 hours? I don't know how far Tucson is from L.A.
about it, like 6 or 7 hours, but I'm sure you'll see Tony show up in there. But yeah, it's good. Like, I think this is, I want to try the next one with a fully scripted thing, and we're going bigger places than, you know, I'm cheating on my girlfriend, please forgive me. You know, we're going into places like a horror comedy, a little bit of sci-fi in the next one on a little budget. So yeah, we're excited to try new things.
Okay. Gina, how is the audition process for you?
It was interesting. I mean, I go on a lot of auditions, maybe book some things here and there, but I wasn't really satisfied because some of the roles that you go out for are like cheerleader number two, you know, or things that I just felt were not really fun. And so when Scott and I were talking about, when we started talking about filmmaking, I got excited because this is where you can create characters that you want to play and get more experience that way. And so I think eventually I'll go back to auditioning, but right now I really enjoy filmmaking.
Okay, I'm going to jump ahead again. You were talking about your aunt's house. So for catering, did you get fed?
Yeah, at my aunt's house, we ordered pizza, and, you know, I got like a bunch of snacks and stuff.
That was
but
good.
Yeah, but for the B&B shoot, like I would order catering. And actually, it's funny because we had such a small crew. Because we only had a one person sound department, one person camera department, and then it was me and Scott, and then like the actors. So, I actually had to backtrack and make the catering orders a little smaller because they would give us way too much food.
Well, that's great. Do you have leftovers? You put it in the freezer, you eat it later, you don't complain.
Yeah, but it was just hard to eat all of us to eat everything. It was a good problem to have.
Okay, what's your next hold on, just looking through my notes. So I am listening to you while you guys are talking. So I have a personal experience with a hooker or a massager. I have a note for that, and I'm trying to remember what I was getting there.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Tell me about that scene.
That scene is, one of my dad's favorite scene. Actually, I'm kidding. He hates that scene. That Dan character, he had told us a story on a different occasion, and I was like, tell that story that really happened to you. And he just told his story, and we filmed him driving around, and that's 100% true.
Oh, wow. See, these are the things I need to ask, because sometimes I'm like, that sounds good.
Yeah, that's a real thing that happened. And wasn't that cool that he shared it?
It was very good, because now I know it's real, because I have to ask. These are my notes. I'm like, I got to ask about this.
But the funniest part is at the end, he's like, and you know who was there for me? It was Scotty D.
He was there for me. Nice transition there.
Yeah, nice segue into showing their friendship.
When you go to visit the character's lost looking for his friend, why does the guy's wife let him stay? Like, he literally begs her.
Wait, you mean with the other guy?
Yeah, the other guy. He lets him stay, and I'm kind of like, why? Like, his wife's like, I have no friends, you know, I never have anybody over.
Oh, well, I think she feels a little guilty that, obviously, that she was banging some guy.
Well, I was going to get there, but we don't know that yet.
Right.
That's
but
later.
But he kind of throws it at her. Like, it's very tongue-in-cheek. Like, he says, I didn't charge your guest when he stayed, and so she feels like, oh, I guess I should. I'm obligated to let your friend stay.
Yeah, he's referring to the other guy who she cheated with.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah, I never banged her.
Yeah.
No, I know that, because that's stated in the film.
Right.
Later on, when you go visit the guy, he goes, I banged her. But I didn't bang. It was really nice of you to come with your friend. I like that. That scene was very touching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Hey, if you're going to be a good friend, you know, we're going to do some battles together.
Yes. I thought it was great. So you put this film on YouTube, which I thought was kind of strange. Usually I get a Vimeo copy or a screener sent to me or something. So why YouTube and not Vimeo or Amazon?
We had a Vimeo one, and now it's just on Amazon. So that YouTube was just for your viewing pleasure. That's unlisted. And now we're exclusively on Amazon, which is fantastic.
Oh, I didn't know that. So nobody can look for that.
No one can look for that on YouTube. I like it being on Amazon, you know, and it comes with with users, you know, people have Amazon and they can discover Schlep, and they have through Prime and stuff like that. So it's really cool for our first for our first feature.
Oh, that's awesome. I never heard of that. You're the first person to tell me about this fake YouTube thing. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to have it listed, you know. That's just for a screener. And I did have a Vimeo one before, but I got rid of it because I just want the movie to be on Amazon for now. Maybe iTunes later.
That's awesome. You know? That's absolutely great.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
So you say you're going to expand for your next film. How much bigger are you going?
Now, the budget's not going to expand too much. You know how that goes. But the idea, you know, it's a not too many locations. Gina, why don't you tell them about
that? Yeah, so our next movie is called Mandeo of the Dead, and it's a horror comedy, a little bit of sci-fi in there. But it's about this guy named Jay Mandeo and how he uses astral projection to reverse a ghost's death on Halloween.
Okay.
So big ideas. Small budget.
A little bit of time travel using astral projection, but all in-camera effects and done. I think we're going to do it very smartly with how we cut it, and it's not going to be overly cheap CGI. In fact, there will be none of that in it. It's just I'm very interested in seeing how we're going to tackle that in January.
That sounds great. I think everything you've told me is just awesome. I do have a film that you might want to check out.
Cool.
It's called Conjoined.
Conjoined. Okay.
I did do an interview with him, but actually it's not on my feed yet. It will be soon. But I think you should check that out. It's a horror comedy.
Ooh, okay.
And cool. It's available, and you probably have never heard of it, and it's a really, really fun film shot on – actually, we discussed it in that interview. I'll probably post it next week. And it will. He's on a $2,000 budget, I think, or something, and he tells me about it. Ooh. So maybe you should watch the film and then listen to my interview, and he's – you can get a hold of him. If you email him, he'll get back to you. He's a wonderful guy. He does. He's like you. He's done about 6 features.
Oh, wow.
Joe Grafassi. I always get his name wrong. So, but yeah, check that out. Send him an email. He's on Twitter. Awesome guy.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait to check out that episode too.
And I think it'll be up next week. So you're getting a sneak peek of where I am. That's why I schedule these so far, because I'm just busy, busy, busy. But I apologize for that.
No worries.
What else would you like to say about the film? I apologize. I have 2 pages of notes, but you've gone over them so quick. So.
Okay, well, hey, this might be a good time to share some things for anyone who's mounting up their first movie.
Yeah,
and maybe
Love to hear about it.
The movie you see on Amazon, that's the result of basically a 90% reshoot. Okay.
What?
So, yep. We had another version of the movie that we shot all the way in Tucson, Arizona, at this little boutique
hotel.
And so we shot there for 12 days, all right? And I came back and I edited the movie and I got an hour into it and I realized, whoa, uh-oh, this is not working, you know? I mean, it wasn't very funny. It wasn't very cohesive, I guess. And I kind of panicked. I was like, oh, we got to make this work. But then I realized we don't have to put it out there. We called the crew, the cast and crew back, and was like, we need to reshoot some things, just a few things.
Nothing too big, you know.
So basically we ended up doing, I think it was 6 or 7 days of reshooting with, basically, I mean, it was half the time that we used for the first version that we shot. But weirdly enough, I think it was better because everyone was more gelled together. We had worked together before. It seemed like, I don't know, something about it was working.
Well, we were definitely running around more frantically on that second shoot. So I think it added to the energy level of the performances and stuff.
Yeah, and Joshua Tree, that's where we were shooting. So that was just 4 days there, like constant, not nonstop shooting.
I want to back this up. Yeah. So you had a film in the can, pretty much ready, and you weren't happy with it, and you scrapped it, pretty much?
Yeah. I mean, I kept some stuff, like the studio things. I wanted to keep some of that. I just got attached to it, I guess. So I was like, all right, I can still frame a different story in here, but something that's more about, I don't know, awkward, you know,
encounters
and, you know, relationship problems, stuff like that. It just, believe it or not, the movie that on Amazon is a little more focused and more likable. And there's Tony now. Tony never did the nunchucks before in the other one, so we added that and added some more fun things. So I guess, you know what, why I say this is because you don't have, I mean, I think it's important to love the thing that you have. Like, if you're not going to like it, then don't put it out in the world. Not everyone has that option, of course, but I think it was really cool that the cast and crew got back together and trusted us enough to go and try and make it better. And we did. And I was actually really touched by that.
Did you change sorry, did you change the script between the first shooting and the second shooting?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we added, I was like, man, I want these characters to, I don't know.
Certain things stayed the same, like the relationship problems between the two couples, but we added more, like, hijinks to it to make it more interesting, more funny, and...
make some characters more redeemable.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it was things like that. I was like, man, I can't show this to anyone, but but it was worth shooting again, and that's the biggest lesson, okay? So when we did that Joshua Tree shoot, I mean, yeah, no, it was the Tucson shoot in Arizona. We didn't rehearse a lot, man. We didn't rehearse a lot, and I think that's pretty, I think it's a little bit arrogant for where we were.
I was about to say that. You're crazy not rehearsing.
Yeah, yeah. It's super crazy. We just thought, I think a lot of it was fear too, like, oh, what if we, I don't know, it was just all foolish. The thing we learned by the time we did the final version of the movie was we rehearsed for about a week with everyone. I had camera moves that I wanted to do. Basically, all the stuff you're supposed to do the first time, I made sure, it was a great lesson.
Okay,
to basically
good.
Make sure always doing that.
We would
record our rehearsals using an iPad. So it was almost like a visual storyboard, and you could see the rehearsal playback when on the day when you needed to watch it. Okay. So that was really helpful.
So you're using an oversized iPad, I hope, not a mini, because the mini would be really small, but it would work.
No, we're using the mini.
Oh, my God.
Think about it. It's like a little panel of love, you know? I don't know.
That's what we had to work with.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a great – you should have led with this story.
It's always a weird one because it's like, I don't know. I'm glad we got to share it, though, because I like when filmmakers share, like, those big failures so that I feel better. And I feel like, oh, they failed. I can do that, too. You know what I mean? Like, I can pick myself up from a failure, too.
Well, we bounced back from it, so it wasn't a complete failure.
Yeah.
So, Gina, how did that feel, then? This is your first film. Scott's got 90% in the can or 100% in the can, and he scraps it, makes you go back. How does that make you feel?
At first when he was like, we got to reshoot, and I was in denial for like an hour because I was like, no, it's
more than an hour.
Okay, I'd be like, day.
Maybe like a day or so, but I was like, no, it's great. We're going to, you know, and then I would watch. He's like, just watch it. Just really be critical more than you ever been and see if we need to do some reshoots. And I saw it and I would try to be critical and, you know, it killed me. It killed me at first. But then I had to get used to the idea. And once I got used to the idea of doing reshoots, it was fine. And, I just had to put everything together again. It was great.
Hey, wow. I was like, well, that shocked me. I'd be like, what? What do you mean I have to reshoot? Wow, that's a great story. That's your lead right there. Drop
that. Yeah, I just don't know, but, you know, we failed, just so you know, like off the bat. Hi, my name's Scott, and we failed, just so you know.
No, I think that's a great story. Okay, going back, what's your feedback been on the film? Have you gone to festivals? Have you shown friends? Have you rented out a theater?
Yeah, all of the above. We except for the renting a theater, we had this, my favorite reaction was at the First Lance Film Festival. So a few months back, and we were in a little movie theater. We were the final showing, the last day. And we had a really great audience. I think that was the best night. Like, it was actually pretty packed in there for you know.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of laughs, and I feel like people were laughing. When people are in a movie theater, they're there to watch a movie. So we had their attention, and they were very kind to us. And I would like to say that it wasn't fake laughing. It felt very genuine, and I enjoyed being in there. Yeah, it's great.
Gina, your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, it was just really surreal just to be in a movie theater and watching like a year and a half of your work on the big screen and seeing people react and laughing. There's no comparison. It was amazing.
Hold on, it took a year and a half to get to this process?
Well, from shooting the first version to regrouping and redrafting the story and then getting the locations and shooting it again and then editing it again. Yeah, the whole process took, I'd say, about a year and a half.
That's a long process. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the other two was also getting the funding for it, too, again.
Well, how'd you raise your funding? Was it a Kickstarter? Was it asking friends? Was it handing a hat in the street?
It was a combination of self-funding plus friends and family pulling together resources plus a lot of favors. So okay. Favors really brought down our budget, which was great.
Well, that's good. Favors do help.
Yeah.
I can only give you the favor of putting it out there, and hopefully more people go to Amazon and buy it. That's the best I can give you.
Well, I will take that up any
day.
That's
great. Thank you. So you guys are rocking. I mean, you got your first film out a year and a half. You guys are – that's all great. So I do have fun questions for you now, unless you have something I haven't asked.
Sweet.
Okay. These are the easiest questions. Well, a lot of people, I've had one person tell me they were hard, so I don't know. We'll start off. Both of you can answer. Just go one, then the other. Then it's easier for me. Scott, favorite film? You can name more than one.
Oh.
It's fine.
Okay. Just overall, Back to the Future.
Wow. That's what I figured. Oh, that was one of my notes. I forgot to ask you. At the end of the movie, they fight over Back to the Future. Is that why it was Back to the Future? I totally forgot to write that down.
Dude, absolutely. I knew I liked you. Because,
right
at
my last note says, why Back to the Future? And I totally forgot to ask you about it.
Because I love it. I freaking love it.
Now, so who wants number one, though? I mean, who wants two?
I used to love two the most, but when I go back to it, it's the first one. Oh, yeah.
The first one has the most magic.
Yeah.
Because I saw the first one in theater, and I remember walking out and blowing me away.
You saw it in theater. You're so lucky. Gina and I just saw that in theaters this past year.
So Back to the Future Day.
Yeah, Back to the Future Day.
Oh, I saw it whenever it came out, I saw it in the first week. I saw it.
That's so awesome.
I'm old. I can't help it. I saw Star Wars in the theater. Like, I'm just old, so I get to see these things.
Yeah, but you saw all the classics, dude. That's amazing.
Okay. And Gina, your film?
Oh, man. I really love, like, fantasy-type movies, so I have to say, like, Lord of the Rings. I really love it. I could rewatch that all the time.
Now, we got to ask. We're doing Lord of the Rings. Are we doing a 4-hour extended cut, or are we just doing the theatrical one?
So no, I have to ask the 4-hour extended cut.
Well, I haven't sat through The Hobbits, though. Have you?
Yeah, we did.
The extended ones? I didn't watch the extended Hobbits because I was like, they're okay. I enjoy them, but I'm like, Lord of the Rings, I've watched both. I had to see the extended of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, same. I haven't seen the extended cut of The Hobbit, but I've seen the regular or theatrical version, and I'm like,
oh, and not to get off topic, I know we have other questions, but do you know they're doing an Amazon Lord of the Rings?
I just heard. I'm so excited. I was about to bring that up and ask you guys what you thought. I'm excited. I will watch it, guaranteed.
I think I'm excited, too. I'm just a little cautious. I even heard that there was something like a little bit before Fellowship of the Rings or something. That's interesting.
Hey, I'm in.
I just hope, I'm a little hesitant about it just because I hope they put as much care and thought that they did to the previous one. Like, I hope it's as good or better than the original, what they made before.
I don't think they can.
Yeah, I know.
And those
I know.
Books are amazing. It's kind of hard, right? It's like if they made a prequel to Back to the Future or did something like their kids, you can't beat Back to the Future.
No.
I mean, they had a cartoon, but it was nothing like the movie.
I know. I remember that cartoon, too. It's so nostalgic.
Yeah.
Okay. This may be a hard question, but I'm going to change my questions up a bit. Did you two live together? Do you share movies, or are they separated?
Oh, we share them.
Yeah.
Okay. She has no choice.
So it's Friday night. You guys are home together. You invited friends over. Who chooses the movie, and what is it?
Good question.
We always have to agree on the movie.
So Gina, you can't pick Tea with Mussolini for the sake of my argument. He can't pick Star Wars, I guess, or Beastmaster. Well, that's fantasy, so.
Well, I would probably pick Star Wars, too. I do enjoy sci-fi, too. But,
like, the other day, I wanted to watch this movie, Dick Tracy, and I know that's an old one. But
no, nothing.
I
saw that in theaters, too.
Yeah, oh, dude, that's awesome. Sure. I asked her to watch it with me because it's good, and she refused to do it.
Oh, well,
so I watched
Tracy,
the thing
fine.
By myself.
I just wasn't in the mood.
It's so good. It's still good.
So answer
it's
my question. Good. There's people over your house. They're coming over right now. What film are we watching? It's Friday night. You're having drinks.
We're going to watch... Gosh, you know what? That is a hard one, by the way.
I get told that a lot, and I don't think it's – I have my choices, so.
Well, it depends on what the night's like. Maybe we should watch Half-Baked. I don't know.
Oh, my God. You're kicking an old 90s. Oh, my God. That was filmed in Toronto where I live.
Was it really?
Yeah, I couldn't. It's still there. I was on the set for that. I wasn't in the movie. I just happened to hang out that night.
Oh, really?
They were so nice. They were all really nice.
Oh, dude. Where were you? Like, what set?
Oh, it's been so long. I remember they were on Edward Street. There's a book. Is there a bookstore behind them ever? A shot of a bookstore?
Yeah, I think that's when he's going in to buy weed in that, like, this little weird bookstore.
Okay, it's been years I've seen Half Baked. Well, that's right downtown Toronto, just north of our main center. That's the scene I was at.
Awesome.
So there you go. See, I'm pulling my knowledge. I'm like, Half Baked? I was still in Toronto. I remember. And the Goat Boy was really nice.
Which one?
Goat Boy. I can't remember in Saturday Night Live. He was Goat. Jim Brewer.
Jim Brewer. Yeah,
trying
to
remember. Super, super nice guys. You're putting on Half Baked. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one.
It's fun.
I haven't seen that in years. Okay, this is the last question. It's probably the easiest one of the three. I'm sorry. You're at the movie theater. What do you buy?
Oh, we'll get some popcorn. We're going to get some icy Coke.
With ice or without ice?
Pretzels.
Oh, pretzels.
See, we don't have those in Canada. Drives me nuts.
Well, what do you have? Like, what?
We have popcorn. We have confectionery, like we have candy bars and stuff. The pretzels, we don't get the same pretzels you guys do. Even when Target came up here, they didn't have pretzels. I was pissed.
That's weird. They come with this really great, like, spicy cheese.
It's like a nacho cheese. So good.
Yeah, we get those with these horrible nachos that are stale. They try to serve me every once in a while. My daughter loves them. I won't eat them.
Your daughter loves it.
She loves these. She doesn't like that spicy cheese sauce. So usually I end up eating it with something.
Just like your finger or something.
Yeah, I'll eat it. So you don't smuggle anything in? That's my other favorite question.
Oh, yeah. I will. I'll probably smuggle, like, some really good chocolate or something. Because, you know, sometimes it's just really overpriced.
Oh, one time we brought, like, this meat selection. Like, a meat and cheese platter selection.
Nice!
Yeah. That one was good. I think we're proud of that one.
Yeah, that was really good.
That is so awesome. That is so cool. Well, sorry I'm laughing at that so hard. That's so good.
We're like eating gourmet cheese.
Oh, great. Well, I want to thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a blast.
Thank you for that really cool story about the 90% and the cheese coming to the theater. That's really good.
No problem.
I can only top that. I have a quick story. If you remember the Reese Witherspoon movie, I think it's called Highway. Freeway.
Freeway.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So we're at a sneak preview. A friend of mine got me the passes, and I said, look, I got to work. He goes, no problem, just meet me there. So I stopped at the Greek place across the street and got Deuce of Lackey on a bot and brought them in with me.
And like, did you wrap them up?
They were wrapped up, and you couldn't really smell them until I got in there. My friend goes, I'm going to effing kill you. He goes, you better give me one of those. So I had to give him one.
Oh, he wanted one, too. I think that's perfect.
He was so mad at me because all he could do was smell this Greek tzatziki I brought in with me.
And no one said anything? You didn't get caught?
No, nobody said a word to me, which I was shocked at because we ate them in the theater. There was no doubt about it.
Was it crowded?
It was packed. It was a free preview night. It was like preview night.
Oh, man.
So everyone smelled it.
Yes. Again, tell everybody where they can find your film.
Amazon, yeah. Go to Amazon. You've got Prime. Just watch it there, or you can rent or buy.
Great. Will there be a DVD for it at some point?
Good question. I'd be open for that, but right now, no.
Okay. That's it for me. I want to thank you all for your time, and I look forward to the next film.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for having us.
Hey, anytime. Have a great night. Mr. Sandman.